A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, everyone on the internet, and those of you in attendance today, welcome to the Senate Commerce Committee here Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. We have two bills before us. We have Senate Bill 29 and Senate Bill 31, but first we'll ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senator Adelstein? Senator Gant, Senator Merchant, Senator Nesselhoff, Senator Turbeck, Senator Nelson, Senator Olson.
Here.
That should be a quorum.
Quorum is present. I'd also like to introduce Sarah Tweet from Beersford, who is one of our pages, and Karen, I am going to join the rest of the senators that have to apologize on not butchering your name. Could you say it one more time?
Zaradnichek.
So very unique and interesting name, and I didn't want to do it any disservice by butchering it. So exactly. So welcome, and thank you in advance for the service that you're going to provide us in the next 2 weeks. I'd entertain a motion to dispose of the minutes from the last meeting. Moved by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Nesselhoff. This is a roll call, or excuse me, a voice vote. So all in favor of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The minutes are hereby approved. We'll now move into our calendar. The first item of business before us today is Senate Bill 29, which is an act to revise the requirements for replacement of group life insurance policies. As a reminder to those testifying, please make sure that you've signed in and print your name for the Secretary's ease of being able to account for you in our minutes. And welcome, Mr. Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance. Senate Bill 29 deals with replacement of group life insurance, and the reason we brought this bill forth was a problem that we identified through our complaint files of situations where an employer had a group health insurance plan covering their employees, our group life insurance plan, pardon me, and replaced it, and for one reason or another, the individual, an individual employee was not at work, out ill when the plan was replaced, and they subsequently died, and both the prior carrier and the subsequent carrier denied coverage, and therefore, even though they've been covered all along as an employee, they were left without coverage and through no intent by either the employee or the employer. So we put forth the bill, and in its original form was to basically put that responsibility on the new carrier. We were approached by ACLI, the American Council of Life Insurers, and said, well, we understand the issue. We just don't like the approach. And we have an alternative for you, and that would be to adopt the an NAIC model, the group continuance model, and suggested we do that as an alternative. And in fact, that's, we did go through that NAIC model and pulled out the health insurance portions so as to make it strictly applicable to the group life situation. And therefore, what you see in the Hog House Amendment is the NAIC group discontinuous model with only the group life provisions. What this bill does in essence with the Hog House Amendment, I hope I can talk to the amendment, Mr. Chairman. I apologize if I'm going afar.
To speak to the amendment at this time, and we'll bring that up in discussion.
Thank you very much.
While you're talking about the Hog House, I would also like to ask you if we have lengthy amendments to bills that we receive them a little earlier.
Actually, I did get them to LRC about a week ago. So, okay. Whatever you want to do, you want me, if you like, what I can do is give advance copies because they can't always get to them right away either.
They seem a little onerous when they get to this length, and so to make sure that the committee has proper time to review them, I'd sure appreciate
They would be draft because they wouldn't have had the LRC format changes, but I could certainly do that.
For lengthy ones, and we can all use our best judgment on what's lengthy.
Certainly. I'd be glad to. In essence, what this Hog House Amendment would do is to basically apportion out the responsibilities of who provides the group life coverage between the prior carrier and the succeeding carrier. In some situations, the prior carrier would have the responsibility. In other cases, the succeeding carrier would have the responsibility. The primary demarcation between the two, the way this would be set up, is if you're disabled on the date that the switch took place, it would be the prior carrier. If you're not disabled, then it would be the new carrier. And we also put a provision just to make sure that this didn't fall through the cracks, that if you weren't disabled and were out on an employer-approved leave, whatever the leave happened to be, then you're actively at work and therefore wouldn't be under the exclusions under the succeeding policies, carriers' exclusions. But the bill doesn't stop there with the Holocaust Amendment. The NEIC model also has some additional things that we think are valuable. It has some provisions in there for claims that were incurred prior to the effective date but not filed with the carrier, to make sure that those covered under the prior plan. It also requires some notice provisions if there's going to be a discontinuance in coverage, so that people have the opportunity to exercise their rights as far as when discontinuance occurs. It also requires a reasonable provision for extension of benefits in the event of the disability. And it also sets forth the criteria as far as when a new carrier takes over, when they can eventually drop people off the policy. For instance, they are not an eligible employee because they're no longer actively at work, or they've been terminated from the employment or something along those lines. So it sets forth also the criteria for when an individual would be dropped from coverage. So we think this adds a number of protections that weren't there, solves the issue of an employee getting caught between plans when there's been a switch in the employer plan from one group life plan to another, and we think it's actually an improvement, and we certainly thank ACLI for their help in putting together an approach that we think solves our problem and also makes it more uniform for industry. With that, I'd be standby for any questions. Thank you.
We'll have questions in the discussion part of this. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 29? Any other proponents? Welcome, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dick Gregerson, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the American Council of Life Insurance. And we have been working with the Division of Insurance on this bill. We think the bill now, as amended, is a good bill, and we fully support it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Are there any other proponents for Senate Bill 29? Any other proponents for Senate Bill 29? Seeing none, we'll move to opponents. Are there any opponents for Senate Bill 29? Is anyone here today wishing to testify as an opponent to Senate Bill 29? Seeing none, we will close for committee discussion and or action. Senator Nesselhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no doubt that this is a fine amendment and that Mr. Moses is not trying to pull a fast one in any way, but under the crazy idea that we should probably read and understand a bill before we vote on it, I would ask the chair if we might be able to defer this until Thursday.
Thursday, we have two fairly large bills. I guess, you know what, we don't have a big calendar today, so I guess I would allow us to sit at ease if you'd like to read the bill now. The committee is going to sit at ease for 10 minutes. Commerce Committee will now come back to order. Is there any questions of the committee, having had the time to review the amendment in its entirety? I would now entertain any other questions from the committee. Senator Nesloff. Senator Turbeck.
I'm unfortunately one of those folks who did poorly at written exams when people were whispering in the room, so I'm so compulsive I'm not sure I understand all the details. I just want you to reassure me, Randy, that I'm understanding this correctly. If the person at the time of transition, if the individual who was covered under the prior plan is disabled or not at work because of illness, whether or not it would rise to the level of disability, they get covered by the succeeding carrier. Am I correct?
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
If they're disabled, they would be covered by the prior carrier. If they're not disabled and not at work due to a employer-approved absence, whether it's illness or otherwise, then they're not considered. Then they are considered actively at work and would be covered by the succeeding plan. And that would be found on the very last sentence of the amendment.
Okay, I didn't get that far. Thanks.
No, that's fine.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will now move to committee discussion and/or action. Senator Nesloff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy, you did a pretty good job of your summary, I think, to begin with, now that I've actually had the time to read it. And I thank you for allowing me to do that. I believe we need to move the amendment at this time, so I'd move 29JA.
There has been a motion from Senator Nesselhoff and a second from Senator Adelstein to move the amendment for Senate Bill 29, which is marked 29JA. All those in favor will indicate by saying aye. All opposed, nay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. We will now open it up to further discussion on Senate Bill 29 as amended.
Move to pass.
There's been a motion by Senator Nesselhoff and a second from Senator Turbeck-Berry to move Senate Bill 29 as amended on a due pass. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Turbeck?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 29, as amended, has received a favorable vote. And is there a motion at this time for a title amendment? There's been a motion for a title amendment by Senator Nesselhoff and a second by Senator Gant. To move the title amendment 29 JTA. All those in favor of the title amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's passed and hereby moved. We'll go on now to Senator Nesloff.
I know sometimes we have a discussion on whether or not it's appropriate to put an amended bill on a consent calendar, but I think that this is one that we don't need to rehash on the floor, so if it's appropriate, I would move consent.
It's been moved and seconded to place this item on the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill will not be on the consent calendar, having a dissenting vote. And we'll now move to the next item on our calendar, which is Senate Bill 31. Anyone wishing to testify as a proponent for Senate Bill 31, please come forward. Please state your name for the record, and make sure once again, for those of you folks that have come in to listen to testimony or to be part of this hearing, we'd like you to sign in at the back podium and clearly write your name and as whether or not you're a proponent or opponent of the bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Fehler. I'm with the South Dakota Department of Public Safety, Office of Weights and Measures. Senate Bill 31. It's been suggested that I mention what Senate Bill 31 is not before I get into what it is. It is not Senate Bill 21. It is not a blunder bill, and it is has nothing to do with taxation. So having said that, what is it? It revises the requirements for labeling anti-knock index or octane. Just as a brief reminder, I was provided these by the petroleum marketers. This is what you might see on the dispenser out there for octane. One of the numbers, octane number. Since 1953, the state of South Dakota has required that pumps, if they are labeled for octane, that they reflect the actual octane or anti-knock number. The problem is that the definition of actual allows that rating to be listed as, in the case of 87, if the bill of lading says certifies that that gasoline is 87 octane, South Dakota statute currently allows that to be posted as anything from 85 up to and including 89. Now, the problem with that is that since 1979, there has been a Federal Trade Commission fuel rating rule, I believe it was formerly known as the octane rule, which specified requirements for rating determination, for certification, posting, record keeping, for all liquid automotive fuels with the exception of diesel fuel. That rule has an exemption in it, a preemption section, which basically states that no state or any other subdivision may adopt or continue in effect any provision of law or regulation which is not the same as the FTC fuel rating rule. So currently what we have is a statute, and I couldn't tell you why we've had this statute in effect since 1953, but we've had this statute in effect that basically is not consistent with the FTC fuel rating rule. So the purpose of this rule is to change that language to be consistent with the FTC fuel rating rule. And the way we've done that is that we've basically adopted language from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, Handbook 130, which the state of South Dakota adopts. We've adopted the 2005 version of that handbook, which includes, among other things, uniform laws and regulations for engine fuel quality. And that's where we get the language for our rule or for our statute change. So with that, I would make myself open to any questions.
Thank you, sir. We'll hold questions until we've heard from all of the proponents and opponents on this, and hopefully some of those questions, if they do come up, will be answered in that. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 31? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. My marketers are the gas station owners that do post this octane rating, and we did chat with Dave about this, and we do not have any issues with this, and we encourage you to pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents on Senate Bill 31? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 31? Is anyone here today wishing to testify against Senate Bill 31? Seeing none, I will welcome any committee questions at this time. Fairly easy committee to get along with today. We'll close the Senate Bill 31 hearing, and the chair would entertain a motion or other discussion. Senator Gant. There's been a motion by Senator Gant as a due pass and seconded by Senator Turbeck-Berry. Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Gant?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Turbeck?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Senate Bill 31, having received a favorable vote from the members present, is deemed passed. Is there any other? There's been a motion by Senator Turbeck-Berry and a second by Senator Adelstein to move to consent calendar. All those in favor would signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It'll go on the consent calendar. Just a final piece of business for the committee. Please leave your binders on the desk. And if you'd all help me before you leave, it's been brought to my attention that we have a birthday from someone sitting at the table today, and this person isn't elected and doesn't work full-time for LRC, so I'll leave that to you. But at any rate, happy birthday, Lois.
Happy birthday.
Chair to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Nesteloff, seconded by Senator Merchant. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We're adjourned.
Aye.